Phil Vitel, the restaurant critic of the Chicago Tribune, just strolled into our studio. He joins us most Wednesdays, Tuesdays or Thursdays, if we can make that work. We're not on Wednesday of this week. We've got White Sox baseball.
Right,
how are you, Phil Vitel?
I am good. Thank you.
You were at the James Beard Awards last night.
I was.
How long does that hootenanny go?
We try to go for about 3 hours or so, and this one ran about 4 hours. There were a few long speeches.
4 hours is too long.
For a lot of things, yeah.
These are people in the food and entertainment business. They should know that nobody wants to sit anywhere for 4 hours.
Right, without anything to eat.
And these are people that are there for food.
Well, waiter? Yeah.
Is that the Opera
House,
right?
Is a long baseball game, and this was an award ceremony.
4 hours. I cannot think of a thing. I can't even think of anything. I can think of no thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one thing, if it goes 4 hours, you're supposed to call your doctor. I can think of no
right.
thing. That I want to do for 4 hours.
Yeah, fly to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, but you want to be in Hawaii for 4 hours.
Right.
The flight to Hawaii is 8 hours.
Right.
And that's about 6 hours
so
too long.
I'm just saying 4 hours would be a great flight to Hawaii.
Oh. Fair enough.
Boom.
Yeah. Right. Right. That would be, I want to spend 4 hours flying to Hawaii because
right, yeah.
it's supposed to cost
like,
me eight.
Whee!
Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed for Kevin Bayman and Rod Katz, the two leaders of the Boca Restaurant Group. For the fourth time, they were nominees, final five, in the restaurateur category, and they did not win. And I really thought this was their year, and yeah, that one bummed me out.
Do you think that who won that category?
The winner was the head of the Luke Restaurant Group in California.
Was that
Los
an outrage?
Angeles.
Should they
no.
have not won and this guy should have won?
If I'd had my druthers, the chef at Luke had won for Outstanding Chef 2 years ago, and this seemed like just giving them a second award for essentially the same work. That's just me. Obviously, more voters felt otherwise.
Anybody else get slighted from Chicago?
Well, there were lots of people that were in. They were up for Sarah Rinkovich at Marisol in the MCA Chicago. She was up for Rising Star Chef. I believe she'll still be eligible next year. But it was her first year on the ballot. She did very well this year to get to be a finalist in her first time out. So that's not a bad thing.
Fat Rice was the winner?
Fat Rice was the winner. The Chicago of the Best Chef Great Lakes region, which is us and Indiana and Michigan and Ohio.
What's Fat Rice like? What's that all about?
Fat Rice is Macanese. It plays with the food of Macau, which is itself a melting pot of Goan and Chinese and Philippine and other influences. So it's very, very lively food. It's really hard to say, oh, here's a typical dish. The typical dish is itself called fat rice, which is just a big bowl of rice in a broth with so much protein in there. There's these sausages and these pieces of meat. The only thing I've ever told people is if that's your first visit, don't have that dish unless you're going to come back.
Why?
Because it was so big. That's all you'll eat.
Hmm.
And then you walk in and say, I went to Fat Rice. I had a dish. There's so much more going on there. So you really show up with four people and then take out that one dish, just one copy of it, and then be able to get into
try
all the appetizers.
Well.
And yeah.
It's a really good restaurant.
It's really good.
Is it expensive? Is it tough to get into?
It's tough to get into. It's not terribly expensive. So when it's really great food and it's not terribly expensive, you are going to have some lines.
Yeah, I guess they could charge more, but then nobody
right,
wants
right.
to do that.
No. They're very true to their mission.
Fat Rice. Where is that in the city?
It is on California. It's in Logan Square.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's talk about something more pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
In the Tribune, you have a White Sox guide to the food at Wrigley Field.
That's right.
Pardon the dust.
Right. The city series resumes this weekend, and we assumed that a whole lot of Sox fans who are coming up to the game haven't been here since the last time this White Sox played, which would have been September. And a lot has changed in
oh
the neighborhood.
My. Man alive.
Mm-hmm.
Man alive. That Zachary Hotel.
Zachary Hotel was a skeletal structure of support beams and I-beams, and now it's a fully realized hotel with about four or five dining options.
I had a Manhattan at Mordecai, Three Fingers over there.
Yeah, isn't that a great restaurant?
It's not bad. You know, I only had the Manhattan, but then mm-hmm. right next to it, they have that brisket place.
Smoke.
Yeah, and boy, that
smoked
smells
daddy,
good.
I'm sorry.
Smoked daddy with the fries and the barbecue and brisket and stuff like that. And it all looked and smelled pretty good.
Right.
And the seating is kind of cool because all of those venues have second floor balconies where you can overlook Clark and the park at Wrigley Field, et cetera. Right. So if it's a nice day, I understand that it's really tough to get a seat there on a game day, but on a nine-game day.
I assume so. Yeah. Although I went in on a game day and I got there before the game and sat at the bar and then had some food and I had no trouble.
Which venue were you at? Was it at...
That was Mordecai. I went in the first floor, and I got there about an hour and a half before game time.
What did you have?
I had their... now I'm blanking. I had the... what's the matter with me?
You don't have to remember. Yeah, I didn't ask you to know this.
Right. No, it's on my notes, and it's not in my head.
But you haven't done an official review of this yet.
No,
anyway.
I haven't. No.
And you wouldn't on one sitting anyway, would you? You'd be there three, four times.
My preference, yeah. My minimum is two. Sometimes you can kind of get the place after two visits, but that's the dead minimum.
What do you like at Wrigley Field this year, food-wise?
I haven't eaten anything of the new stuff. I always like hot dogs, but my seats aren't in the bleachers anymore, so it means I'm not going to get hot dogs anymore because they're only in the bleachers.
Really?
Yeah. Hot dogs is only in the bleachers behind the center field to the left of the center field scoreboard.
It's been, now that you mention it, that sounds about right, but I never even thought about that.
Right.
You mean when I'm sitting in the good seats, I can't get a hot dog there?
No, you can get a hot dog. You just can't get hot dogs. Hot dogs.
What do you mean?
Well, he does these specialty sausage things with that are named after Cubs players. And like the more obscure, the better. You know,
the specialty hot dogs.
Right.
You call those hot dogs?
Hot Doug is, that was the name of the original restaurant in the area, and that's Doug Sohn, and he would, his devotees, and they are legion, like to refer to them as just encased meats.
Oh, by the way, I found your review of a Smoke Daddy. Still one of my favorite places for ribs and other smoked meats. Smoke Daddy feels right at home in Wrigley Field. The original is on Division, offering basically the same menu. Oh, okay, in spacious surroundings. I didn't know that they had another location, including a second floor outdoor terrace. If you got tickets for the Saturday or Sunday game, I know you know all of this, arrive early for Smoke Daddy's family-style brunch, $19. That doesn't sound too bad.
You can't beat that.
Hey, do you have any recommendations for Mother's Day if I don't have reservations?
Yes, actually, at Elif's suggestion, I sent out a shout-out via Facebook to various restaurants and said, hey, anybody got a few seats left.
Which is what you did for Valentine's Day, too, right? Isn't that the one you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are you hearing?
Just for you guys. Let's see. A bunch of places. Prime and Provisions, which is that steak place just over on LaSalle Street, right at Wacker Drive. They're doing a brunch, and they're opening early. So they have seatings right now at 10, 10:30, 1:15, and 1:30.
We'll post all of these on my Facebook page, too. I'm WGN King John. On Facebook, you are... Phil Vitale. Search Phil Vitale on Facebook. You'll find it there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Prime and Provisions.
Yep, they're doing something. They're doing a 65 brunch, and you can order flowers ahead of time. So it'll look like you planned this for days, for weeks, and instead you did a last-minute thing. The Florentine in the Loop, the JW Marriott Hotel, 151 West Adams, they have some tables left. Tide House, which I reviewed a week ago and is still kind of the new kid in town, they haven't filled up for Mother's Day yet, so they're at 3157 North Southport. There's a place called Tap House Grill up in Des Plaines on Market Street. They're doing a $30 brunch with an omelet station and a carved meat station. A place in Lincolnshire, Half Day Brewing Company. They're sort of corporate cousins to Tap House Grill. They're in Lincolnshire. They do an a la carte menu from 11 to 2. Maple Tree Inn down on Blue Island on South Old Western Road. They're open. They've got some space. Bistronomic here at 840 North Wabash is doing a very nice brunch from 9:30 to 3. And then dinner service from 5 to 9. They've got some availability in both those time segments. Dos Urban Cantina, thank you. They messaged in to say they still have a few. The brunch is pretty much sold out, but you can get in for dinner. And they're in Logan Square, 2829 West Armitage. Untitled Supper Club on Kinsey here. They're doing a family brunch. They're kind of known for their nightclub scene, but they're having a family-style brunch during the early hours, and they have seating.
Untitled Supper Club was one of your recent reviews, right?
Actually, I just had a story on their new chef.
Oh, is on the new chef?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a question about that. You got another minute?
Sure.
Phil Vitale's here. Maybe you have a question or an observation, too. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Phil Vitale's here, the restaurant critic from the Chicago Tribune. You can text or call in now. This is WGN.
The Axe himself, David Axelrod, will join us in studio to talk about the wackiness of Washington.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger will grade President Trump on the handling of the Iran deal.
And we're giving away beer and brats to everyone. We got Hofbrauhaus Chicago gift certificates every hour.
It's kind of a big deal.
The Rokan Show with Anna Devlantis. Up next at 3 on 720 WGN.
Think green. Hi, this is Tonya Khoury, owner of Green Tea Lawn Care. Now is the time to have that beautiful lawn you always wanted.
Service to a green tea.
Our environment-friendly program will give you the greenest lawn on the block. Our state-certified technicians will care for your lawn like it's their own. Call our crews with the green letter T on top of our trucks.
Service to a
green
tea. 805-GREEN-TEA.
This is my family business, and we have such confidence in our service, there's no contract to sign. Call us now for a free fertilizer and weed control application worth up to $100. Yes, absolutely free. Call us now and get details for your free fertilizer and weed control application. With Green Tea Lawn Care, the grass is always greener on your side of the fence. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services, service to a
green
tea. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
Hair loss isn't just a guy thing. Did you know that 40% of women will experience hair loss by the time they turn 40? That can mean visible thinning on the top and sides of your head, not to mention a dose of self-consciousness. But it doesn't have to be that way. Now there's a natural, completely non-surgical way for women to reverse hair loss and look and feel younger. Introducing Restore PRP. Restore PRP helps thicken and regrow your hair by using the natural growth factors within your body's own blood platelets to stimulate hair growth. There's no pills, no surgery, and the treatment is so easy you can do it on your lunch break. Even better, you can continue to heat, style, and color your hair while you receive treatments without worry. If you want to thicken and regrow your hair without surgery, text the word DOUBLE to 41411 and receive a $250 discount. That's DOUBLE to 41411. Text DOUBLE to 41411 or visit RestoreHair.com.
It's not easy being a mom, but my Chrysler Pacifica makes soccer practice a little more fun. I can binge all my shows with the available Uconnect Theater, open the stow-and-go seating to grab my hidden romance novel, or just jam out to the radio.
Hey, Mom, what was that song?
Huh? What song? I didn't hear a song.
Chrysler Pacifica. It's loaded with attitude. Chrysler is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
It is 1:51. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. If you are just joining us, the president announced about 25 minutes ago that the U.S. will pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. Details on that at 2 o'clock. Doug Stanton, do you remember the horse soldiers, the story about the first guys in Iraq? It's an amazing story. He's the guy that told that. My understanding is that's going to be, was that already made into a movie?
I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, I have too, and it said 2018. So I think I've seen the trailer, but not the film yet. Anyway, he's got another book that he has written, not just now, it's out in paperback, in fact, but it's about the Tet Offensive. We are this year on the 50th anniversary of that pivotal point in the Vietnam War. Nobody tells a war story better than Doug Stanton. The book is called The Odyssey of Echo Company, and he's going to be in our studio. We'll talk a little military stuff after 2, and then Charles Zamanda will join us at 2:35. His dad is Ray, the Menards guy, who passed away today, and we'll tell that man's story. Yeah, the Menards guy passed away. I got a couple questions from some of our listeners. Is there anything in particular you wanted to say about that review? It wasn't of the restaurant, but of the chef. What was the point of your last story there?
Just that a very nice restaurant has a new chef, Frank Nuk. I think I'm pronouncing that properly.
Yeah.
And he's been at a few restaurants in Chicago, so he's a veteran. And he has a great resume with work at the French Laundry, among other places. So definitely worth taking a look at, see what he's going to be coming up with there
at
Untitled.
Untitled.
Untitled Supper Club. 111 West Kinsey.
What a terrible name for a restaurant. Untitled Supper Club.
Right. What's the name of it? Untitled. Come on, tell me the name. We've got an Abbott Costello.
I can't remember. What's the title of that place? It's Untitled. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is a good idea then. Let's see here. John, oh my goodness, can please Phil tell me where I can find good rumaki? I used to love it as a kid. I don't know where to go for an excellent batch of rumaki in Chicago.
Wow. I would be calling around to a few maybe Asian restaurants and see if they had that among their little bites. I would send you to Trader Vic's if we had a Trader Vic's anymore. But that's a real kind of anymore. It's a suburban potluck kind of appetizer. You know, you're bacon wrap around a water chestnut and
oh yeah, right.
Right.
So that's a funny thing to shop restaurants for rumaki.
It's right. Once upon a time, probably really easy to do. Now, probably a tricky thing. Now it's more of a, you might find it on a poo-poo platter somewhere.
I love the phrase poo-poo platter. I haven't heard somebody say that in a long time. Is that always a Polynesian or Hawaiian or Asian sort of
so sort of a
charcuterie?
Polynesian-ish, don't ask too many follow-up questions about authenticity. It just kind of, it goes good with crab rangoon.
I grew up a little bit in Hawaii, and that's what we called them. If mom and dad were having people over, they would put out a poo-poo platter.
Right, and that's what they call the appetizer platters at Trader Vic's and any other Polynesian type thing. They'll have them. I think poo-poos refer to the individual bites and all the rest of it. But we have an interesting culinary history. This world.
Well, if somebody knows a great rumaki joint or a joint that has great rumaki. Mm-hmm. Feel free to text in 312-981-7200. What does Phil think is the best place for tourists to lunch when they are only there for a day? If I'm a tourist and I want to have lunch,
and you want to get a real flavor of Chicago in a very short time.
Okay, but I'm a tourist, so I also, may I insert, I also, it'd be nice if I could sit outside or a place with a view, but I want good Chicago food. Now, what am I going to do?
Well, combine the food and a little bit of the outside and go across the street here to Purple Pig, which is open at lunch and is usually crowded, but they do get you in. And Jimmy Banish Jr. does great food, and you can just get some little bites. You get something really substantial and sit out in a little bit of that little shaded outdoors setting they have.
I'm going to also just suggest, and not because it's got great food, but it's in such a great location, and you can eat outside, and you can get a nice drink and a sandwich, and that's Howlin' Hood by the radio station here.
That's right, our friendly neighbors.
And the Tribune Tower on the south side, there's this joint that used to be our studios. Mm-hmm. They took it over, and I'm not in love with that place, but boy, there are times where sitting outside there is not a bad scene.
And lunch is lovely in the early evening when you get the golden shadows from the setting sun, and you can look across at the Wrigley Building, which is still one of Chicago's most stunning buildings, I think.
John, I read in the Red Eye, The Cool Mom's Guide to Chicago, that Big Star is one of the best kid-friendly restaurants. How can that be? They sometimes say no to kids after a certain time. Don't have a kid menu, and they don't have high chairs, not that I know of. Does Phil have an opinion about that, kid-friendly restaurants?
Well, kid-friendly restaurants usually have high chairs, usually have a certain tolerance for volume, so your kid can't be, if your kid puts up a fuss at Big Star, no one's going to hear him because everybody's too busy yelling and having a good time, and they're serving tacos, which means, there's kid-friendly versus infant-friendly, and I think we probably have to make a distinction there. If you're looking for high chairs, you might be looking for something else, but if I've got my 7-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid going around, I don't have to sell them hard on the idea of tacos for lunch because it's something the kids will eat. And when I think kid friendly for a restaurant, I want accessible food for a kid and enough of an atmosphere that they don't have to be too starchy and quiet about it.
I'm just going to say this, but I think the most kid friendly place for some kids is at home with their mom and dad and not out in public. But that's just me. It's 158. Phil Vitale, read him online, chicagotribune.com/dining. He's also in this print edition. Nice to see you, Phil. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.